share with you a story that was shared with me recently. It's a story about the pioneer times, and there was a father who wanted to move his family west. So he went out west and he bought some property, and he surveyed the property, and he found a place where he wanted to build the well, where he wanted to build the barn, where he wanted to build the house. And he laid this all out on a sheet of paper, exactly where he wanted everything to go. And he went back east and he said to his sons, "I want you to go back to our property and I want you to build everything in the exact spot that I have on the sheet." So they get to the property and like, "But Dad knows what he was talking about. This is the perfect spot to put this well." And so they dig the well, they move over to the barn. They're like, you couldn't pick a better spot to put this barn. So they built the barn there. And when they looked at the sheet, they said, this is all wrong. The house shouldn't go there. It should go over there. So the question is, were they obedient to their father's wishes, or were they just agreeing with him? Because in 2/3 of the case right there, it appeared like they were obedient, when in fact they were just doing what they agreed with. When you look in the dictionary for the definition of obedience, the first one is dutiful or submissive conformity. And from a religious perspective, it is conformity to a monastic rule or the authority of a religious superior, in our case Christ, especially on the part of one who has vowed such conformance to that faith. Now, a lot of times, I don't know how many people I recorded at PTP who use this illustration about obedience, and they talk to you about the white sign with the black numbers along the side of the road that tells you how fast you're going to go. And when I get on Pellissippi and I see a mass of cars, you know the car at the front has lights on top of it, because everybody is in more of agreement with that 55 miles an hour when there's somebody there with the authority to enforce it. But as soon as that car with the lights pulls off at Alcoa Highway, what happens? Everybody speeds up. And it's easy to obey when you agree. If your child's like standing up and over by the garbage, you might say, "Hey, can you throw that away while you're over there?" And that's, "Sure, that's no problem." And they agree with you. But if you say, "I want you to mow the yard before you go out with your friends on Saturday," that's a little more difficult. And when we talk about obedience, we always think about something that has a consequence. And the definition of a consequence is a result of something that occurred before time. So if you're disobedient, you might think there'd be a punishment. And if you're obedient, it might just be that you don't get punished, or there might be a reward involved if you obey. If we turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we're all familiar with this passage. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, lest you surely die.'" We know how this plays out. The serpent says, "Oh, of course you won't die." And this is an example early on of how God's rules and his laws and how we must be obedient is taught, because God actually says that to Adam in Genesis 2:16 and 17 in the verse prior to creating Eve. And so it's likely that Adam had conveyed that to her. So the result of this disobedience by Eve and by Adam is that it brought death upon all mankind. 1 John 3:4 defines sin as lawlessness, which is transgressing God's commandments. And obedience gives way to sin when we don't agree, or we temporarily do not agree with whatever that command might be. And a lot of times you might hear it phrased this way: "Well, I don't see anything wrong with," and you fill in the blank. When it comes to worship, when it comes to anything in our Christian life and regarding morality, I don't see anything wrong with whatever it may be that differs from God's command. In Genesis chapter 6, 13 through 18, we see a positive result of obedience when Noah builds the ark and he saves his entire family and thus all mankind starting from that point on. So sometimes we don't understand why it is we are to obey what it is we're being told. We don't know why it is we are supposed to do certain things. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was struck with leprosy, and he's expecting some great thing, and he goes out there, and he doesn't even get to meet with the prophet. A message is sent out to him what he must do, and at first he's angry that, why would I have to do that? It makes no sense that I would go dip in the Jordan 7 times, but his obedience cleansed him. In John chapter 9, when they come upon the man who was born blind, and they say, Master, who is it that sin that caused this man to be blind? Was it him or was it his parents? And Jesus said it was neither. And then he bends down, he spits on the ground, and he makes this paste out of clay, and he rubs it on his eyes. Then he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus could have just made him see right then and there. He could have not even put the didn't have to anoint his eyes. Just could have made him see right then and there. But he needed to see him be obedient. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now that's an easy one. We all strive to do that every day. We try to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's hard to not agree with that. Matthew 5:43-45, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. If we stop there, we might wonder, well, I don't agree with that. People who are going to persecute me and challenge my beliefs, but I'm told I must love them and pray for them. Verse 45 says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. We may not always agree with the decisions made by those who are in authority, whether it be government or in the church, but we must always remember that they have that authority granted to them by God. There are dictators on this planet who would curse God if they had the chance, who do not believe one way or the other, who have that power that they wield because God lets it happen. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We must obey first and maybe understand later, simply because we love Jesus. When we obey, we can study and gain a further understanding of why he commanded what he commanded. We weren't raised in the church, and we kind of, people say, studied our way out of it. And one of the things we had a hard time with was we didn't understand the authority of the scriptures at first, and so we had a hard time understanding why we don't use mechanical instruments of music. But we obeyed first, and it took a while for us to understand why it is that way. And we must obey because we want to please him who died for us. Recently, I heard a young man in the back say he doesn't fear losing any of the things or privilege that he has because he would never do anything to disappoint his father. So how much more then, with the promises we've been given, should we live to not disappoint our Father who is in heaven? So this brings us to the most important act of obedience any human could make, and that's the decision to follow Jesus. And if you consider the illustration of the pioneer family who is moving west, there are those who would say, yes, these first few steps, absolutely. I totally agree with that. But when you get to one aspect of the plan of salvation laid out by our Lord, they don't really agree, and they would say that it's unnecessary. But we all know that it's necessary to be obedient to hear so that we may understand what the Lord wants us to be obedient to. We must believe those words. We must repent and turn away from the way we once were. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you have not been as obedient as you once were, or you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing.